You may be seated this morning.
Amen. As you're having a seat, I want you to think about how God has been good for one. His goodness, he never said his goodness was going to be revealed in us not having hard days. He never said his goodness was going to be revealed through us getting everything that we wanted in life. And life going our way. What he said is his goodness will be revealed through his son Jesus, through his death, burial, resurrection. Through his son Jesus, his goodness would be revealed to us. His love would be revealed to us. It's through Jesus that we have this revealed. It's through the gospel that we have this revealed. It's through this reality that God wants us to know that he loves us with an everlasting love, a never giving up sort of love, a love that endures your worst days, your worst attitude. It's a love that says with compassionate and empathetic eyes, I know today was hard, and I'm here for you. And I know you didn't do your best, but I'm not giving up on you. It's a love that says, I forgive you. I forgive you. So, maybe you're going through some hard times. Don't let those hard times discourage you or deceive you to believe that God doesn't love you. He loves you. He loves you, and he has shown his love by giving his son Jesus, and Jesus has shown his love by laying down his life. And God shows us even more of his love whenever he gives his son Jesus life again and raises him up, because that's a promise to you and me that he will give us life again. He's given us the life of his spirit. And one day he's going to restore all things, make all things new. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord, I love you. I thank you for who you are. Oh, Lord. Here's what I know. You've been faithful to me, and I'm thankful for that. Lord, I pray and I ask that you'd be with us today as we go to your word. I pray that you would speak to us out of your word. Encourage us out of your word. Correct us out of your word. Lord, I pray and I ask that you would shape us and form us through your word. Lord, give us everything that we need so that we can live like your son, Jesus Christ. Love like your son, Jesus Christ. Be patient like your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray and I ask that you would just help us. We pray all these things in Christ's mighty resurrected name. Amen. All right, I don't often title my sermons, but if I were going to give a title to this sermon today, I would entitle it Pregnant with Hope, because it's the image that Paul wants to give us out of Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. He presents this image of creation being pregnant, of us being pregnant, and he doesn't give us this idea that we're pregnant with despair, with discouragement, with anything other than we are pregnant with hope. And this image is an interesting image because I've not been pregnant. I don't know if y'all know that about me, but I've not been pregnant. But I have. I was born of a pregnant woman, and I was married to a pregnant woman for three times. Three times I was married to a pregnant woman. Same woman, by the way, all three times. But I know that the image that he is trying to use there is a good image because he's trying to put some complex ideas together. He's trying to put this complex idea together that we are enduring hard times, suffering, cancers, deaths, disease, our fathers having heart attacks, our children getting bullied, you stubbing your toe at the end of your bed. Oh, in the middle of the night. Isn't that the worst, right? It's not really the worst. It sounds, but it does. Some of those things, if you want to lose your faith real quick, your Christianity, your testimony, stub your toe, right? That's it. That's all it takes sometimes is and then I could just be like, I could be short with somebody, like, no, I just stub my toe, right? That kind of thing can happen. Think about our friends in Ukraine. They're living through hell right now, aren't they? They have been. Israel and Gaza. And those are the ones that we know about, and there's so much more. So he's trying to bring together this idea that we live in this world that is full of hard times. Job says, what is man's life? His days are short and they're full of trouble. And yet, Paul says, in the midst of this trouble, you and I have been given the Holy Spirit of God. You and I are no longer locked in the end of Romans 7, where Paul says, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. We're free from that. Because we have the Spirit of God. So you and I can love like God calls us, commands us, exemplifies for us to love. You can be patient with people who don't deserve your patience. You can be gracious towards people who don't deserve your generosity. You can forgive people who've hurt you. Paul's trying to bring these ideas together. We live in this reality that is short-lived but full of trouble. And yet we've been given the greatest gift that we could possibly know to this point. And the greatest gift is that God's Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from death, abides in you. I don't believe most of us trust that, for one. This is an aside, but I don't believe most of us trust that. I believe most of us who claim faith in Jesus, most of us still believe that we are living end of Romans 7 life. I'm not able to do the things that God wants me to do. I just have no ability to do it. Maybe we do this out of despair or discouragement. Maybe we do it as an excuse, truth be told. If I deal with the reality that God's Spirit is alive within me, then I don't have an excuse to not look like Jesus. So, I encourage us to fully trust that God, through his son Jesus, one of the loving things that he has done is he has given us generously of himself, of his spirit, so that you and I could look like Jesus, because this world needs God's kingdom to come on earth, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God has made that possible by giving his spirit to his people so that you and I could go live like God's kingdom citizens here on earth. So Paul is saying we live in this world that's full of trouble. God has given you his spirit. You are able to overcome adversity, hostility, trauma, pain, suffering, hard times right now. You are able to overcome them. You're able to endure them looking like Jesus. And he says, and one day, you and I are going to be fully experiencing the glory that Jesus is experiencing right now. And we said this a few weeks ago. What's true of Jesus, Paul says, is true of you. And you look around and you go, I don't think that that could be true of me because I still make mistakes. I still mess up. I still have these feelings that I can't control. I still have these thoughts that run up in my mind and my heart. I still live in this world that's full of trouble and pain. And so Paul says, let me give you an image so that you can maybe think about it. And all you pregnant ladies or ladies who have been pregnant, you might get this image, and any of us who knows anything about pregnancy and have had pregnant friends or wives or mothers, we should know these. This image is a good image because he says, listen, it's like a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman is enduring a lot of pain, stress, trauma in her body. And she does so because she knows that what's going to come of her is beautiful, joyful, life-giving. It's a baby. And so he says this image that he puts in our minds is that we're like the pregnant woman. We're pregnant with hope. My wife, when she was pregnant with our third son, which is why we only have three sons, by the way, it was the worst pregnancy that she had had. She was in so much pain. There would be times when she would have me take a lacrosse ball or a tennis ball and like just with every ounce of my force and my strength, shove it into her back to get onto a nerve that could give her some relief of the pain that she was experiencing in her hips. And I would be like, I was wincing as I'm doing it, you know? And she's like, oh yeah, that's the stuff right there, you know? And I'm like, that, you're liking this? And so that tells you the amount of pain that she was in. Because I'm strong, y'all. Look at this, I'm manly. No, I'm just joking. But I would just put all my force into it and think, oh, I can't go any further. She's like, harder, more, give it to me, give me this stuff, you know? Yeah, I need it. And Paul says, this is what we are. We're pregnant with hope. So this is the image that Paul puts forth. Let's look at it in the text. And let's just make a few observations from that. This is Romans chapter 8. We're looking at verses 18 through 25. This morning we're in the New English Translation on the screen. Paul says, for I consider that our present sufferings cannot even be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. I'm going to make two notes about this. That word consider there is not, you know, I just think. It's not a light. It's not just like, you know, off the top of my head, I just kind of thought about this the other day. This is a deep conviction for Paul. The term is weighty. And every commentary wants to point it out because, like in the King James Version, it would say, "For I reckon," and y'all, right? I just said a colloquialism there, right? Y'all who grew up in the South, you know, well, I reckon we ought to. He's not, "I reckon we ought to." I reckon that maybe it's going to be better one day, but we don't know. No, Paul is deeply convinced about this. He's deeply convicted about this. So it's not just a small consideration. It's not a light offering. This is a deep conviction of Paul. Paul is saying, like, listen, everything that I've said is true. The last thing that he said right before this is that we will share in the glory of Christ. He said, if need be, that we suffer with him. Right? If indeed we suffer with him, is what he says in Romans. We'll share in the glory of Christ. The other note that I want to make about this is the word "to." If you read in the King James Version, you'll see "in." In other translations, they have to make a decision about this because it's not one way or the other. And the word is "eis." It's into us. The glory will be revealed into us. So it's like kind of like we will experience this glory. We'll be aware of it. So it's something that's happening to us, but it's also something that's going to be happening in us and through us. And so it's this like full understanding of you and I will not just experience, we'll not just be part, like watching glory. I would think about it like this. It's a movie, right? In a movie, you watch a story. You watch somebody else's life. You can think about it. You can empathize with it. You can imagine what would I do if I were in that situation. That's something that you could, like, that's a two something. Like, I could experience the glory of the movie. That's something happening, you know, or I'm experiencing it happening to somebody else. But what Paul wants to say is, like, no, this isn't just like something you're going to be watching on a screen and imagining in your mind. You're going to be living the experience. You and I are going to be partakers of the glory that Christ is, the glory of Christ. We are partakers of that. We don't just get to watch it. We don't just get to see him being glorious, glorified, made right, made whole, resurrected, renewed. You and I are actually going to experience it ourselves. You will be glorified. I really want to press this point because, again, do we really believe this? Do you really believe that the Spirit of God is in you? Do you really believe that you will be glorified right along with Jesus Christ? And if you go, well, I don't deserve that. No, it's not about deserving it. It's about accepting what God says he's going to do for you and for this whole world. So it has nothing to do with whether you're worthy or whether you deserve it or whether you're stealing something from Jesus. If you know anything about the character of Jesus, is Jesus isn't the vain egomaniac. Jesus is the humble one who will wash his adolescent disciples' feet to make a point about who he is and what his character is like. So you can't say, well, I don't deserve the glory of Jesus. That's not even the question. That's not even, do you accept what God has said? Do you accept what God has promised? Do you accept that God has said, I raised my son from death, I gave him an exalted position, and I'm going to do that to all of his brothers and sisters who trust in him? See, if you can start accepting what God sees you as, what God loves you like, how God cares about you, I think it could be transformative, don't you? Don't you think that could transform us a little bit? If instead of us being able to walk around with our own negative, condemning nature of how we think about ourselves, And if you don't think you're negative towards yourself, then why are you always scrolling on social media and finding yourself comparing yourself to others? Why do you look at somebody else on a trip and go, of course they're on a trip and I can't be on a trip? God doesn't have the negative, condemning voice towards you. He has the, I love you, I forgive you, I'm for you, I want to make you whole, I want to make you right. I want to renew you. So, I can stay on that for way too long, obviously, but I want us to see that that word "to" is not just something that we're going to experience happening around us. It's going to be in us. It's going to be through us. This glory, we are sharing in it. For I consider that our present sufferings cannot even be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of God who subjected it in hope. So that creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of decay and to the glorious freedom of God's children. Listen, we are living in suffering right now. We are waiting for the glory that's going to be revealed in us. But not only are we waiting for this, creation itself is waiting for this, because creation itself, this whole world, has been subjected to the same death and decay that you and I have been subjected to. And creation is waiting to be set free from the bondage of decay into the same glorious freedom that you and I are going to experience and have the ability to experience. Now, he says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers together until now. You know creation is groaning. You know creation is going, we want to be free from death and from decay. How do we know this? Have you paid attention to weather patterns? Have you looked at what goes on in this world and creation? He says, like, all these are ways of creation saying we want things to be new, whole. And he says, but it's not only creation that's suffering or groaning, but we ourselves also, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, you and I groan inwardly as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. You and I are pregnant with hope. Even though we have the Spirit. One word that I want to say about this. Paul doesn't believe that if you have the Spirit of God, you don't complain. Paul doesn't say, if you're really faithful, you don't have a bad day, or you don't acknowledge your bad day. Paul says, listen, we are going to experience glory one day. We have the Spirit of God within us. And guess what? Even with the Spirit of God, when you have a bad day, you recognize it. Even with the Spirit of God, when you have cancer, you don't have to grit your teeth and force a smile so that God is looking down on you and going, look, at least they're smiling through it. He says, even when you have the Spirit of God, when you lose somebody, you can feel it. You can cry. You can lament. You can tear your clothes off. You can rub your hands through your hair. You can just scream and let out some words that cannot even be understood. We ourselves who have the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we eagerly await the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. He says, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await it with endurance. Creation is pregnant with hope. You and I are pregnant with hope, even those of us who have the Spirit of God. And so, I want us to think about what it looks like to be pregnant with hope, just for a couple of observations. And it gets back to what we just said. Pregnant women have a glow about them, don't they? A radiant glow about them. And yet, they are enduring misery. Their body is changing. Their hormones are changing. They're living in misery physically. Am I right? For you, it was the truth. Guys, we don't get it. It's very true that if we were the ones tasked with being pregnant, human species would have been gone a long time ago. Because you and I have a threshold for pain that's about right here, and women have a threshold for pain that's about here. They're actively living in misery, but yet they're enduring it because they know that what's growing in them is life. And so they have this life within them. That they're so hopeful in and for, and yet they don't feel good. They don't feel good physically, we can talk about. Probably don't feel good emotionally either. Women, did you have some dark thoughts? Don't share them with us. Did you have some dark thoughts when you were pregnant? Did the pain take you to some dark places? See, Paul, he's trying to bring together this complex reality that you and I live every day. We are loved by God, so much so that he gave us his son, Jesus. Jesus loves us so much that he laid down his life. God loves us so much that even when Jesus was rejected by us, he gave him back to us. He said he really is your rightful king. And God loves us so much that even when you and I mess up, he says, all you have to do is cry out and ask for forgiveness, and I will freely forgive you. God loves us so much that he has given us his Spirit. God loves us so much that he has been faithful to all the promises that he laid out in Scripture. All of his promises are yes and amen. God has been good. God has been faithful. God loves you with an everlasting love. And yet you and I have to live in this life that sometimes is a living hell. One of our dear friends' son just several weeks ago was having suicidal thoughts. Those are the things that make you go, God, are you really, really there? Do you really, really love me? Because I've prayed over my son. I've labored over my son's life. And here my son is thinking about taking his own life. And I'm powerless to do anything to it. God, where are you at? That's the reality that we live in. And Paul says, in that reality, despite that reality, despite how much pain that brings you, despite how much darkness of emotions that you feel in this reality, I'm trying to speak this word to you that says, hey, God really loves you. Saying God really loves you has given you his spirit, that God will forgive you, that God will make all things new. It's a good word of hope, but you and I who live in the reality, we go, I need to see some proof. And so Paul says, well, listen, I know what's happening right now is that all of creation is groaning like a pregnant woman is groaning. You can consider yourselves pregnant with hope. You have hope that all that Paul has said is really true, that God really does love us. That in his justice, his righteousness means that he forgives us. His justice is not eye for an eye retribution. His justice is, I will forgive you. His justice is higher than our justice, is it not? And some kids were bullying my kids yesterday, and I wasn't there. And it's a good thing, because even hearing it on the phone, Papa Bear, right up in me. Spirit of God gone, flesh of Macaulay, rise up, right? Like, raise up, Macaulay, come on. And I would be willing to lay hands on a junior high boy who's threatening my son. That's how pathetic it gets, right? I'm just telling y'all, that's what raises up within me, or I want to find their dad, and I want to give him the what for. And I don't know if I'll give it a fighting chance. I'll probably not come out victorious in the end, but guess what? It will feel good to get all that vengeance out of my bones. I experience that reality, and I'm pregnant with hope for the day that what first rises up in me is compassion and empathy and understanding, because hurt people hurt people. And so whoever those kids are walking around all arrogant, thinking that they're Billy, you know, that they're the baddest ones around, my first thought wouldn't it be like, I need to bring them down a notch or two. My first thought might be, why do they have to build themselves up so much? What are they trying to prove? You and I live in a reality that denies the truth of what Paul has been speaking about all throughout Romans, the fundamental truth that we even sang about right before I begin speaking, which is the goodness of God. We live in a world that would deny that God is good. You and I have to be honest about that. Paul's honest about that. But Paul says, you know what? I'm giving you is this image so that you can understand. And this image is, you're like a pregnant woman, and pregnancy is miserable. You know why she's glowing? Because her body is generating so much energy that she's burning up. She's sweating and she's glistening as the light hits her. That's why she's glowing. She's living a miserable existence. But she's going to endure it, because one day, through the pain and trauma of childbirth, is going to burst forth new life. So, my brothers and my sisters, we're all just big-bellied, late-term pregnant ladies in regard to our faith. It grows within us. Hope is so much there within us. but we're uncomfortable. We can't get up like we used to get up. We have to kind of do that thing, right? God said in Isaiah, and I can't remember the reference exactly. It's in the 60s. It's either 64 or 66. God said to his people Israel, and we can apply it to us today. He says, would I conceive something and not bring it forth to life? Another way that you could think about it, I'm not the God who would conceive something and it be stillborn. This hope that you and I have has not been conceived by you or by me. This hope that you and I have has been conceived of God. And yes, we are miserable in this existence that we live, where there is pain and there is sorrow and there is trauma and there are bullies. And you and I make mistakes, sometimes naively and sometimes rebelliously and wickedly. We live in this miserable sort of existence. But we are pregnant with hope. And the hope that we have has not been conceived of you. It's not been conceived of me. It's been conceived of God. It's his hope that he has planted within us. C.S. Lewis would call it the echo of a voice, the fact that we even have the dream of a better day. Is something that God has conceived. He's planted in not just the hearts of believers, in every person's heart. And if he conceived this dream within us, then yes, we are pregnant, but one day we will experience the birth of this dream. It will not be stillborn. This life that he has for us, we will see. So here's my encouragement. My encouragement to us is this: that you and I endure the misery, knowing that new life will come. One way that we can do that is by remembering that those pregnant ladies actually give birth to bundles of joy. It actually happens. And so, as Paul uses this image, you're pregnant right now. It's not to be forever. There will be an end. There will be an end to this term. And so let's continue holding out hope. Let's continue being mindful that what he has conceived, he will bring forth to life. With that, I say amen. Lord, I love you. I thank you for who you are. God, I pray and I ask that you would just please these concepts. But Lord, I trust that your spirit speaks a more lively word than me. And so, Lord, I pray and I ask that you would help us to hear your spirit. I pray that you'd be with us over these next few moments, Lord. So we just take a time to process. Maybe think about one thing that you want us to hold on to from this. Lord, I pray and I ask these things in Christ's name. We invite y'all to just Talk to God about what God's talking to you about today. Maybe there's like one or two things that you can hold on to that you can think like maybe it's something new, maybe it's something old, maybe it's just a refresher, maybe just a word of encouragement, maybe there was some correction. I don't know what it was that the Lord spoke to you, but let's just take the next couple of minutes and just talk to God about it. Like, okay, God, I hear you saying this. I receive it, God. Or God, I hear you saying this and I don't want to receive it. Be honest with God. Talk to God about what God's talking to you about. If you want to pray with somebody, I'm here and I will be glad to pray with you or point you in the direction of somebody else. But we just want to take a few moments and hold on to one or two things that God has spoken to us and talk to Him about those things. You're still praying. I don't want to interrupt your prayer.